Hi everybody and welcome to the Kazumatsu.org Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. I am your host, Aspidey, and joining me today we have Yerin.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Kanon-kun.
Hi.
Yeah, and here we are today to discuss Episode 7, The End of the Exodus. And joining us today is a special guest just to give his 30-second recap and then disappear. Bonecus, would you like to give us your recap?
This time, an angel beats Dango Strikes Back. Our now hiki protagonist, Tamoya, Yu, is overcome with bereavement for his delicious lolly, French toast, and throws some noodles at his concerned ex. Jojo isn't funny, and Yu spooks some FBI and an old dude and then runs away. In a town far, far away, Anakin gets given some suspicious salad and then decides to go to the arcade. With his stomach full of clannad, he finds the arcade a bit too exciting, beats some dudes up. This turns him to the dark side, and he dangos someone's eye. Before Anakin turns to Darth Vader, Padme kicks away his dank memes and returns the status quo. Or so we think.
Why?
Dank memes.
I don't know, that's a bit over time to me, but...
okay.
I'll let it slide, this one.
There's a bit of discussion about what he actually got there. I'm not accepting anything for dank memes now. That's what was in the box.
That was in the box. But I wanted to talk about that. Before we get too sidetracked, what do you guys think of this episode?
I thought it was the best one yet, personally.
Yeah?
It is a adequate follow-up to the events in the last one.
I feel so as well.
Yeah, at end of episode 6, I said that I wasn't really sure about how I felt about that, but... After episode 7, I feel much better about series, I guess.
I'm still kind of in a state of I'm not sure where this is going, so that's kind of making me a bit concerned about like how relevant this episode is to the grand picture of the series. But as a standalone thing, like if you could just call this its own like little movie, I really enjoyed it, you know? That's probably a weird way to put it. But I don't know, yeah, as a standalone thing, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was amazingly pretty. It had some really good, great atmosphere to it. Like, I felt, like, genuinely disturbed with you just going around fucking stabbing people. I did really enjoy this. I have concerns for the series as a whole, but as a standalone thing, I really enjoyed this episode. So I guess we'll start by talking about Ayumi's death and the damage it's caused for everybody. My first thought is that I'm shocked she's actually dead. After everything that's happened, I feel like I almost wasn't really expecting it. Like, I knew that something terrible was going to happen to Ayumi. Like, that was foreshadowed pretty blatantly, but I wasn't sure if they'd go all the way and kill her off so quickly. And I kind of feel myself grieving in a way that you probably wouldn't expect, in that I feel like she didn't get enough development as a character, and like she's just kind of been wasted as a plot device for Yu's growth. And that kind of makes me a little bit sad. Like, I feel like we could have gotten more from the episodes previous.
Yeah.
How do you feel okay, about that? Okay, so you should know by now how much I enjoy Yu and Ayumi's relationship development in the past two episodes.
Pizza sauce!
And I think it's fine. I feel like we didn't need to be shown any more than we saw, and I can completely understand Yu's spiral into depression from losing her.
But what if you just replaced, say, the baseball episode or the user episode with something more developing Ayumi's character and her, like, motivations and aspirations? And, like, you know, maybe if we knew more about what she wanted to achieve with her life, like maybe she wanted to be an astronaut or something and she couldn't because she died, that'd be a lot more impacting to me than just, oh no, it's like, oh no, some love triangle and I'm dead now. Boop.
Well, maybe Maida hates her too.
Anything replacing the baseball episode would have been superior, and I can definitely see your point, but I'm satisfied with it. But okay. Indeed, it could have been better.
Okay, so satisfied, could have been better, yeah, that's probably a fair judgment call to make. Yeah, but then there's a lot of people in the forum going that they don't really think she's dead. Do you guys have anything to comment on here?
That was a big pool of pizza sauce. under a very large rock. I don't think she's alive.
We still don't know whose blood that was, though, technically.
That was a lot for the small injury you has.
Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, unless it's just a complete curveball and it's somebody nobody knows, then that would just be dumb.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think the evidence and how this episode presented strongly, like, suggests that Aimee is gone for good. And despite everything I've said, I really hope that's true, because it shows a lot more guts and a lot more integrity when you're willing to stick with this through to the end. And it kind of defeats the purpose of this episode if she's not actually dead, don't you think?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say after that.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's impossible, because considering this kind of universe and the precedent for this storytelling, it's definitely possible that they could just pull out, oh, she was just kidnapped by the scientists and she's being, you know, subjected to horrible experiments and you need to go save her, or some sort of plot. But I really hope they don't.
The other question is, yeah, are there even scientists?
Been saying it since the start.
That's what I felt when I was watching this episode. It's like, Yu's running around all willy-nilly, just doing whatever the hell he wants with his powers. Anybody can see. Like, he's attracting a lot of attention by picking fights with these gangs. And no scientists ever come to him. It never becomes an issue. Tamori is, like, perfectly happy to watch him do it, even. Kind of weird. Like, given everything we know.
My comment about now watching him the whole time was that back when she was getting beat up in episode 5, I think it was, you just watched her the whole time.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, it's an interesting analog there that, like, yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's obviously a much more drastic in this episode, but still.
Kind of like, it felt to me like she was just trying to let him grieve in his own way without trying to interfere. Like, she said she felt guilty about Aimee's death, so maybe it's like she felt like interfering too soon wouldn't, you know, have any sort of purpose. I don't know, my thoughts are kind of scattered here. How do you feel about the whole watching her all along thing?
Okay, I think it's odd, because she could have brought him back at any moment. And I guess it could be like you said, she's trying to keep out of his business until he goes to the dark memes. But she was watching him the entire time, and we know Yu's power is something more. And I think she was watching him so intently because that power is really important to her for some reason.
Oh, that's an interesting... It's a very twisted interpretation, almost, like, that she's actually, like, observing because she has some reason. She wants to see what happens with his power.
I'm going to say she probably does care about him as a person as well, but I think his power is something she's really, really into.
Interesting. I don't like that theory, but it's interesting.
Either way, she's clearly very, I would say, worried about his power.
Worried. That might be another way to look at it, yeah.
She wasn't worried about collapse.
Obviously, the dank memes were going to make his power go out of control, and that's why she had to stop him, because he'd turn into something not human.
A monster.
A meme lord.
Oh, God. Okay. Bring it back a bit. How'd you feel about, you know, Yu's regression and his recovery? Did you like how they handled his recovery here?
I felt like it was a little bit too quick, it felt, for me. Just like the whole episode, his drama was just contained within this whole episode, as if they just needed to, I don't know, it felt too quick. I mean, it was obviously over several days, maybe even weeks, that this episode took place, but I liked seeing the old you even worse, and I was kind of disappointed.
I did too.
That it seemed like it might be gone again.
Okay, so I think having him calm down with the Omuraisu is fine.
That's a really nice thing.
Yeah, if he springs back up instantly next episode, then it's questionable.
Yes, that's basically what I'm thinking. Like, it all depends what happens from here. Is he changed, or is he just back to normal? Because if he's just back to normal, then that's going to feel a bit jarring. Like, oh, they only need one episode to deal with Aimee's death. Like, we can move on now. Not that I say, like, everyone should be like, oh, like, really emo for the rest of the series, but we need some kind of balance to make it justified. And that remains to be seen at this point, but I guess, like, with the coming episodes, we'll be able to tell whether that's the case or not.
Takafumi did point out that just because he had come back to reality doesn't necessarily mean that he's gotten over it all of a sudden.
Exactly. Like, there was that, the woman at the funeral, I still have no idea who that might be, commented how, like, time heals all wounds, but not everything, or something like that.
When I was watching, I was guessing that was his mother. Yu's mom, who he said he hated.
That's interesting.
And didn't ever want to talk to.
Ooh.
Basically the exact same thing.
Well, we know we don't think she's dead, so it makes a lot of sense that she would appear at her daughter's funeral.
She does have the same hair color.
Wait, have we seen her before?
No, the same hair color as you.
Oh, right, of course.
Not that ever matters in anime.
Still, it's evidence. I'll accept that. Yeah, I wonder if we'll see more of her. Probably not, but I can see her being, like, mentioned again in the future, but I don't know if she'll ever become, like, a main part of the cast. A bit like how Kitaro's parents play the role in Rewrite. Like, they're always mentioned, but we never really see them take center stage.
I suppose.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I don't have a lot to say about it just yet, but it was very interesting to see that character appear there. I'm kind of with you. I think it's his mum now. And that scene was, like, very interesting. Like, she almost seems like, yeah, she's experienced, like, this horrible despair before, and she's, like, well-equipped to deal with it, whereas Yu's, like, experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she kind of gives him that cold advice. It's a bit interesting. Interesting character. I guess that'll be open to analysis at a later point. Another thing was, a few people in the forum, Canon, I know you mentioned this, so maybe you'd want to bring it up, but you're suspicious of Misa.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if it's just bad subtitles, or I believe there was some discussion that even in the Japanese, the wording is kind of the same.
Yeah. But
what she basically said was she knows the pain of losing a sister. It could just mean, I figure I know that because I'm half of that, right? Or, like, I jokingly several times have said, what if Yusa doesn't have, God, what's it called?
Pyrokin, or the summon, or whatever.
Yeah. What if she's not summoning Yusa at all? What if it legitimately is a personality disorder as she first introduced it as, and pyrokinesis is just her power? And the way Misa said that, it just kind of supports that, but I'm not going to hold on to it too hard, because it could just be wording that's weird.
It'll kind of fuck with her story arc, where, like, her friend was like, I finally get to meet you again now, I have to say goodbye again.
Actually
Misa.
But that wasn't a very important scene. There was something else. When Yusa came back this episode, before now, every time she comes back, she's been like, huh, nani, and nandate? But this time she was like, okay, so how'd it go?
Yeah.
Like, so she clearly knew she was, quote-unquote, possessed this time. as opposed to every time before.
Well, it could be a fact that she's just aware that it's happening, regardless of what it is. Like, oh, sometimes I just blank out. It's like she's used to it by now.
But it's vague and maybe not anything, but it's something there.
Yeah, a lot of people on the forum came up with the same conclusion, so I don't know. There might be some merit to it. I don't think I believe it yet, but I guess time will tell. So do you guys want to... I think we should at least acknowledge that there's quite a bit of a debate going on the forum about the how drugs were portrayed in this episode. And I want to touch on that a little bit. I don't want to, like, cause a huge debate here, but just the... a lot of people were a bit concerned that Tomori, you know, kind of referred to drugs as becoming something that's not human, I think was her words. And, like, the kind of the point of no return where she had to intervene. A lot of people thought, well, you were stabbing a bunch of people, you know, surely that's more inhumane than taking drugs, right? Which is valid. But then I think Kaze's argument here was pretty decisive, and he's basically gone on to talk about how in Japanese culture, drugs are demonized quite a lot, more so than in most countries. If you take drugs, you're pretty much the scum of the earth. And I feel like that's also being portrayed here. It's not so much... well, it is obviously the creator's like values being put into the story, but it's more of a on a cultural scope than a personal scope. It's worth noting that drugs don't appear in anime very much at all. It's such a rare thing. And the fact that they'll portray it here, even slightly, like, we don't see them. Well, we sort of do, like, it scatters in the air, but it's kind of, like, obscured. But the fact that they appeared at all is, like, a really bold move by Maeda here. And I guess, like, he really wanted to demonstrate the seriousness of this situation and how, you know, how far gone Yu is. I think it's less important the fact that it was drugs that, you know, course this, and more the fact that we need to acknowledge the cultural context that it took place in, and that is such a big deal in Japanese culture. I think that's very important to consider before jumping to conclusions that this is like a really biased sort of message. Biased maybe, but from a cultural standpoint.
I was just going to respond to that with different strokes for different blokes. Some people might think stabbing is going too far. Some people might think it's the drugs that's going too far. You're probably right, it's just or Japan's values mean the drugs is the point of no return and not the stabbing a man in the eye.
Yeah, but there's also like the compound effect of drugs and being an emo murderer. Well, not murderer yet, but he was probably going down that slope sooner or later.
I feel like it's a perfectly fine point where now I could just say no thank you.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up briefly because I feel like it was, like, quite an interesting discussion. You can check out the forum, like, it got a little bit heated at points, but I definitely wanted to touch on that because it's an important point. Like, cultural context is important for this.
And besides, we kind of needed the fighting rampage because he went from taking out his anger on a video game. He's like, video games, like, yo! and then he moved on to people once that came along, and he was like, oh, real life is way more fun than the video game. So it's showing his spiral is going down.
I thought it was really well presented, personally. Like, that's what I'm saying. I fucking love this episode. let's see. So we've talked about most of that. I guess we'll move on to interesting observations now. So,
oh, is it time for the salad?
Yes.
Yes! Oh boy, the salad. Okay, so you gets his pizza at the internet cafe, and a salad comes along, and he's like, it's a free item. I don't want it. Now, the salad of subtlety from episode 5 returns, because I propose that that was no free item, but rather now had ordered it for him to, well, I don't know, give him something healthy to eat. And, like, the line you said right before that salad was, I guess I'm hard to find. But the salad shows that, he's been found. So, yeah, it's like, the salad is a tiny, tiny hint that Nao was there before she actually showed up. And if you really want to look way too deep into it, he rejects the salad, just like he rejected Nell's help as soon as she showed up. He also went for pizza instead of the salad, and pizza sauce, Ayumi. He's focusing on Ayumi instead of the salad, which represents Nao. I am not insane.
Despite the fact that Nao says that she hates vegetables.
Or maybe she began to like vegetables because you told her to eat vegetables.
fucking canon. Alright, what are my observations? I loved Golden Ramen coming back in this way. Like, it was mentioned in the first episode, and like, everyone's gonna be like, oh, that's the running gag joke food, but it wasn't really. Like, the pizza socks kind of took center stage there. But now the ramen comes back in a really serious scene where it's like, oh, I'm just gonna eat ramen all day. I really loved how they did that. That was really cool.
I have to say, the ramen laying all over the floor was what was making me the most angry, because I couldn't imagine eating ramen that many times in a row.
Shirayanagi coming back was a huge twist that I really wish Biz could have been here to talk about. Like, he was just saying last episode in the podcast how, like, yeah, she's never coming back. I think he might have, like, jokingly, like, said, oh, yeah, she's totally coming back. And she did come back, and that's pretty funny, I think.
It's also something interesting about her return, because I'm fairly certain it wasn't her own will that had a return. It was somebody, I said it in the forum, people, they wanted you to stop being broken. And mm-hmm. I feel like she was plan A. Hey, he was in a relationship with this girl once, let's make her support him, and maybe he'll stop being so depressed and come back to school or something.
Yeah, I agree.
But they don't know anything about him, so that was a mess, because there's no real relationship there. And then plan B was forcing him with those guys he threw off the balcony.
Yeah.
So I also have to wonder, who the hell are they? Why are they going to brute force you?
That's a good question, actually. I guess it's like the management of the school.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. I mean,
but why?
They knew he was in a relationship with her because he was, like, asking them to leave to go see her in the first episode, and they wouldn't let him.
Like, I know, just because Biz isn't here, somebody has to say it. That's a pretty suspicious school. Are you some kind of prison school?
Yeah.
I got your back, Biz.
It's very interesting. What else was there? Hirato on the forum brings up the oddity of Tomori taking you to the Takajo household. That's kind of odd. And, like, it's empty? I don't know what's going on there. Does Jojiro not have his family live with him anymore? I don't know. It could be anything, but I really hope they address it in later episodes.
I guess the point that I took away from that was that she didn't take him to her own living space.
That's fair. Can I just propose that Jojiro is just an exposition bot, just a convenient house to be in, and not really important?
He's just a plot device. And hey, the Angel Beast connection has been thoroughly destroyed by all these references. Yes! Noticed first by Zeta Fairlight on the forum.
Unless it was a documentary he was watching.
A documentary on Angel
right.
Beast?
It's the same
that
world.
That actually happened.
Right.
And they took the movie in the afterlife and brought it back to the room.
Right.
Yes.
Moving on to the speculation corner. There's definitely a lot we can talk about here. Can I, like, address this crazy theory that I don't agree with in the slightest? Is on the forum, a lot of people are saying that they reckon Kumagami is you from the future.
Ooh.
Hijinks.
His hair is a different color. Oh, maybe it's okay. A wig, like Master Saito.
Okay. Can we all agree that's fucking stupid?
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
just calling you guys out, but that theory is fucking nuts. Why? Where does that come from?
It has this. It's the same reasoning as you being his own Oni-chan.
Yeah, some people said that.
Yeah. They're all the same person, actually.
Everyone is you from the future. Moving on from that, we've already talked about the scientists, but did you have any other predictions to add, Yuri?
I've just been thinking about some of the stuff that we saw in the previews and the key images before the show started airing, such as the one line at the end of the, it was like one of the PVs said that the promise is to come back home. And that was like what we were focusing on kind of before we had anything. And I was just thinking about how Yuzo Nichon does not live at home. And I was wondering if that was referencing him.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's referencing you coming back to the student council, does it? That's interesting. Definitely valid. I could definitely see that happening. I still have no idea what all this promotional stuff is about, though. It's still quite far off. We haven't met the brother yet. Haven't really met the Brotherhood yet. There's just so many unanswered questions.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is the official Charlotte website updated the front page again. And this time they have those two key visuals back up, the blue and the red one. And they have those same captions. And the first one is, even if he loses something precious, the boy will stand against fate. And I think that's pretty much what just happened, what we just saw.
Knew where we're at now.
With you losing Ayumi. But the second one over the spooky red key visual is, even if he forgets something precious, the monster will continue to challenge fate. And so lots of us have been thinking about this whole time is who is this monster? I guess I originally thought that the monster would be you, like him turning into some monster. And I actually thought that when we saw this regression, that might be what they were referencing.
Hinting
at. But it seems like he's back. Yeah. So, yeah.
Throwing everything off.
I've talked about the forgetting power before, and I don't know if this also has to do with Oni-chan or who knows.
Yeah, I'm kind of sliding towards that the Big Brother is the monster in this particular context. Probably purely based on the key visual. Yeah, he just looks very menacing there. Assuming that's him, I'm pretty sure.
I'm almost positive.
And if he does turn out to be the leader of the ominous Brotherhood, then that adds more. You know, it makes him feel even more, you know, intimidating and monstrous. But again, this is all complete like baseless speculation. But I guess it'll be interesting to see where that leads. I'm just, at the moment, I'm just feeling a little bit worried because we don't know where the hell this series is going and we're already 7 episodes in. That's kind of my biggest concern watching this series so far, is that so far it's just been a bunch of completely, like, unrelated stories, and they're just, I fail to see the direction we're heading. Like, even this Ayumi death thing, I thought that would be, like, the big turning point for the series. I'm thinking maybe it's just a side story, and that kind of worries me.
Yeah, I definitely see where everyone's saying that. I think I'm thinking the point up to now is that the first 5 episodes were full of you constantly like complaining and questioning, why am I just going along with whatever Nao tells me to do? Why should I be spending my time helping these people that I don't even know? And I think that the point is that now he has his reason, because...
That's a good point.
Oh, I didn't have a because.
What reason is that?
Oh, well, Ayumi is dead, and now he now has said, please come back and help me.
Yeah. It's like he's found a reason to keep moving on, like almost like the student counselor's support to him, kind of like his foundation. And that would give him reason to continue moving forward.
Specifically
Yeah,
helping
I
the
can
people
see
with their
that.
powers now that Ayumi's power has killed her.
Yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. So, like, he's kind of been stepped into Nao's shoes now, where it's like he's seen something horrible happen to something he loves and he wants to prevent that
Right.
happening to other people.
Okay, that makes
Yeah,
sense.
that does make sense. And that could definitely lead into the future of where this series is going. I guess I'm filled with very mixed feelings of optimism and fear at the
Yeah.
moment. Next episode is definitely gonna, like, give us a good idea of what to expect, I think.
Yes, a lot of people are seeing the PV for the next episode and it's very light and they're all being like, oh my god, we're going to go back to lighthearted. We don't know that until we see it.
Yeah. What we do know is that we get to see Sala, who might end up being an amazing
It's
character.
pronounced Iwasawa.
I'm sorry, mate. yeah, so next episode is going to be very musical, buy the CDs, buy the albums sort of thing. Nonetheless, hopefully we get something to go by and like give us hope for the rest of the series, because I need something. I need this episode was amazing, but I need something to keep me watching, you know?
Yeah, we need more episodes like this, not more episodes like the first half, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to see what happens from here on out. Anything else anyone wants to
Keep your eyes out for salad in the future.
add?
The salad is coming.
So thanks for joining me, guys. Hopefully Biz will be around next week. I think he ended up sleeping in past his schedule. But yeah, so thanks for filling in, Canon. That's appreciated. So we'll see you next week for the next episode. Catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.